You Forever by Tuesday Love Sang Rampa, read to you by Blue Friend, September 2016. Lesson 23. It is most regrettable that certain words have acquired such an unsavory connotation. There are a number of words which are good words, descriptive words, in all languages, but which, through misuse throughout, perhaps centuries, have undergone a complete change of meaning. We could refer to the word mistress as an illustration. Just a few years ago, within the memory of our grandparents, the word mistress was an honorable one indeed, indicating a lady who was to be respected as mistress of the household, the lady of the house, a fit partner for the man of the house. By misuse, it has now acquired a meaning which is altogether different from that which it originally possessed. We are not going to talk about old mistresses nor old masters, but it seemed an appropriate form of example because we are going to talk in this lesson about another word, the meaning of which has become distorted throughout the years. Imagination is a word which is now in sore disgrace. Years ago, a man of imagination was a man of sensitive ideas, one who could write, one who could compose music or poetry. It was, in fact, absolutely essential for a gentleman to be possessed of imagination. Nowadays, it appears that imagination indicates some poor, frustrated woman suffering from hysteria or on the verge of a mental breakdown. People brush off experiences, which they would far better study, with the exclamation, "Oh, it's all your imagination, don't be so silly." Imagination, then, is a word that is in poor repute today, but controlled imagination is a key which can unlock many experiences which are at present locked in the veil of mystery which surrounds most people when they refer to occult matters. It is well to remember, time and time again, that in any battle between the imagination and the will, it is always the imagination which wins. People pride themselves upon their willpower, upon their indomitable courage, upon the fact that nothing frightens them. They assure bored listeners that with their willpower they can do anything at all. The whole truth of the matter is that with their willpower they can do nothing unless the imagination agrees to permit it. These people of much vaunted willpower are actually those who have managed somehow, usually by accident, to let the imagination believe that a good dose of willpower would be useful in this particular instance. We repeat, and any competent authority will agree with us, that in the matter of imagination and willpower, it is without exception imagination that wins. There is no greater power. Do you still doubt that you can will yourself to do things when your imagination does not want you to? Consider this. Let us pose a hypothetical problem, because that appears to be the modern way of doing things. We have before us a street devoid of traffic. There's no traffic about. There are no curious sightseers. So we have the whole street to ourselves. Let us paint a path, some 2 feet wide, or 3 feet wide if you prefer, from one sidewalk to the other. Undisturbed by the thoughts of avoiding traffic, or unperturbed by the serious stares of onlookers, you would not have the slightest difficulty nor hesitation in stepping off one sidewalk onto your 2 foot or 3 foot wide path and walk sedately across the road to the other sidewalk. This would not cause your breath rate to increase. It would not cause your heart to flutter. It would be one of the simplest things you've ever been called upon to do. Will you agree with us so far? You can walk along the painted pathway without a thought of fear because you know that the ground is not going to give way beneath you. You know that, except in the case of an earthquake or a falling building, you are quite safe, and if by some singular misfortune you should trip and fall to the ground, no great harm would be done to you because you cannot fall further than your own height. Now, let us alter the picture somewhat. Let us say that we are still in the street and we move to a building which is about 20 stories high. We will get into the elevator and move upwards, up to the beautifully flat roof. As we stand on the roof and we look across the street, we observe that we are quite level with another building, 20 stories high, just across from us. If we look over the wall and down at the roadway beneath, we can just see the painted line that we made. Now, we are going to have a board 2 or 3 feet wide. In other words, a board precisely as wide as our painted line. We will stretch it across the street, 20 stories high across the street, and we will anchor it so firmly so that it cannot move. We will anchor it so securely that it cannot sway or bounce. We will examine it most carefully to see that there's nothing at all which could trip you or make your footsteps uncertain. You have the same width of pathway as you did on the ground level. Can you walk across that plank, which is fixed securely 20 stories above the street, and reach the other side of the street, or reach the roof of the other building? If your imagination says you can, then indeed you can, and without any great trouble. But if your imagination is not so complacent, then your pulse will race at the mere thought of it. You'll feel butterflies in your stomach. You might even feel worse than that. But why? You've already walked across the road, so why can't you walk across this beautifully firm board? The answer is, of course, that your imagination starts working. Your imagination tells you that here is danger. If you slip, if you falter, you'll step off the edge of the board, and you'll fall 20 stories down to destruction. It does not matter how much one tries to reassure you. Unless your imagination can be assured, no amount of willpower can help. If you try to assert your willpower, you might have a nervous breakdown. You'll start to tremble, you'll turn pale, and your breath will come in stertorous gasps. We have certain mechanisms built into us which protect us from danger. Certain automatic safeguards are built into the human mechanism so that a human cannot normally run into foolish danger. Imagination makes it almost impossible for a person to walk that plank, and no amount of telling them would enable a person to realize that it was really perfectly safe. You need to imagine that you can do it. Until you really can imagine yourself stepping up to the plank, getting on it, walking firmly and confidently across, then you cannot do it. If one wills oneself to do a thing, when the imagination says no, then one does indeed risk a nervous breakdown, for we're going to repeat once again that in any battle between the imagination and the willpower, the imagination always wins. Forcing ourselves to do something when all the alarm signals are clanging within us can wreck one's nerves, wreck one's health. Some people are desperately afraid of passing a graveyard on a lonely road at midnight. If the occasion arises when they have to pass a cemetery at night, they feel their scalp tingle, their hair stands on end, their palms begin to perspire, and every perception is heightened, every impression is exaggerated, and they are indeed keyed up to make a prodigious leap to safety should the appearance of a ghost apparently call for escape. People who do not like their work and have to force themselves to do their work often bring into use an escape mechanism. Some of these escape mechanisms lead to rather weird results. They may be blessings in disguise because, if warnings are not heeded, mental breakdowns can occur. We're going to relate an actual instance which is well known to us. We know the instance, we know the man, and we know the result. Here it is. This man of our acquaintance did a lot of standing. He stood at one of those tall desks and entered figures in the ledger. His work was such that he had to stand. The work could not be done easily sitting down. The man was competent at his job. He was good with these figures, but he had a phobia. He was truly, desperately afraid that someday, somehow, he would make a mistake and perhaps be accused of embezzling a sum of money from his employers. Actually, the man was painfully honest. He was one of those rare individuals who make hard work of honesty. One of those individuals who would not even think to take a packet of matches from a hotel, or would not even keep a newspaper which he found on a bus seat. But even so, he was afraid that his employers did not know of his honesty, and that made him feel very bad indeed about his work. For a number of years, he went about the work becoming more and more unhappy, more and more preoccupied. He discussed a change of work with his wife, but she had no sympathy with him, and so he kept to the same job. But the imagination got to work also. First, the man got gastric ulcers. With careful attention and diet, those ulcers were cured, and he returned to work, returned to standing at a desk. It occurred to him one day that if he did not have the ability to stand, then he would not have the ability to keep that job. Some weeks later, an ulcer appeared on his foot. For a few days he hobbled to work, and he endured great pain. But the ulcer got worse, and he had to remain in bed for a time. Being in bed, being away from his office, his recovery was quite speedy, and then he went back to work. All the time, his subconscious mind was nagging him. It reasoned, one supposed, something like this. Well, I got out of that horrible job by having a foot complaint, but they cured me too quickly, so let me have a worse foot complaint. A few months after the man's return, presumably cured, he got another ulcer, this time on the ankle. It was such a bad ulcer that he couldn't move his ankle. Eventually, he was taken to the hospital, and as the ulcer became worse and worse, he had to have an operation. After this, he was discharged, cured, and went back to his job. Now the hatred of the job was growing on him. Soon another ulcer appeared, and this time between the ankle and the knee. This time it was so bad, resisting all efforts to cure it, that he had to have his leg amputated at the knee. This time, to his great joy, the employer would not have him back, saying that he would not have a cripple around, a cripple who was always falling sick. The doctors at the hospital knew quite a lot about this case, and so they arranged for the man to do some other work, work for which he had shown considerable aptitude while in the hospital. It was a form of handicraft instruction. He liked the work and had much success with it. There was now no fear that he would go to prison for some mistake which would cause him to be accused of embezzling. So his health improved, and so far as is known at the present time, he's carrying on this work and making a success at it. Now this is rather an extreme case, it's true, but every day we see high-pressure businessmen who are in fear of their jobs, in fear of their employer, or in fear of losing face, working at high internal pressures, and then seeking to escape by way of gastric ulcers. Gastric ulcers, in fact, are known as the executive's complaint. Imagination can topple an empire. Imagination can build an empire as well, remember? If you will cultivate your imagination and control it, you can have whatever you want. It is not possible to dictate to your imagination, not possible to tell it what it shall do, because imagination is something like a friendly mule. You can lead a mule, but you cannot drive him. And so you can lead your imagination, but you cannot drive it. It needs practice, but it can be done. Well, how are you going to set about controlling your imagination? It is only a matter of faith, of practice. Think of some situation which excites your fear or your distaste, and then overcome it by faith, by persuading your imagination that you can do a thing, no matter what others can or cannot do. Persuade yourself that you are some special sort of being, if you like. It does not matter what method you adopt to yourself, so long as you get your imagination working on your behalf. Let us revert to our original illustration about crossing the street. let us decide that we can easily cross the street on a 2-foot plank resting across the roadway. Then by faith, by thinking that we are not as others, we can persuade our imagination that we can cross the plank, even though it be elevated 20 stories above the ground. Think of this. Tell yourself that even a more or less brainless monkey can cross that plank with no fear at all. Who is better, you or a brainless monkey? If a brainless monkey or a person who's almost an idiot can cross that plank, then surely you, a much better person, can do it also. It is merely a question of practice, of having faith. In the past, there have been famous tightrope walkers, such as Blondin, who crossed a rope many times over the Niagara Falls. Blondin was just an ordinary man who had faith in his abilities. He had faith that he could cross where other men could not. He knew that the only thing to be afraid of was of being afraid. He knew that if he was confident of going across, then he could cross, no matter if he was pushing a wheelbarrow or if he was blindfolded. We all get the same sort of experience. We climb up a long ladder, and as long as we look up, we experience no fear. But as soon as we look down, the thought occurs to us that we would make an awfully bad mess if we fell off that ladder and then crashed. Our imagination then pictures ourselves falling, pictures us being smeared many feet below. Our imagination might picture us clinging so tightly to the ladder that we cannot free ourselves. Steeplejacks have had that type of experience. If you control your imagination by building up faith in your own abilities, you can do anything. You cannot succeed in overcoming your imagination by force. Exercising your willpower will not overcome your imagination. It will instead build up a neurosis within you. Remember once again that you must, at all times, lead your imagination, control your imagination. If you try to drive your imagination, you'll fail. If you will lead your imagination, you'll be able to do all those things which you thought would be impossible for you. First of all, though, believe that there is no such thing as impossible. End of lesson 23.